Hi there, this is Photography of Director Podcast, and my name is Vitaly Boxer. A little bit about me, I'm a cinematographer and I work on all sorts of different projects, but I've decided to do a podcast about other filmmakers and to talk to different filmmakers. We're going to start this week with an animator who's actually my brother. His name is David Boxer. And don't forget, you can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just look up Photography of Director. You have your choice of an audio-only feed or a video feed. And in the video feed, you get to see us, the filmmakers, and also see the filmmaker's work. And to learn more about David, please go to my site, photographyofdirector.com, where you can watch the actual film, Loving the Time of Advertising, and enjoy the episode. All right, welcome. Welcome to Director of Photography Podcast. Well, no, it's actually Photography of Director. Let me start again. Well, it's late here in New York. Okay. So let me start again. So welcome to the first podcast of Photography of Director. So it's a podcast. Is that cool?
Yep.
I guess so.
It's a cast for your pods.
Yeah. So anyway, why don't you know, I'm going to cover basically filmmakers in this podcast, starting with my brother. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I'm an animator. That's the type of films I make. I was a creative director in commercials and an animator in commercials for a while, where I finished a short film, finished directing a short film called Love in the Time of Advertising, which went through the festival circuits and all that stuff. Yeah, I finished that about a year ago, or a year and a half to 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay, so that's why actually I decided, since, you know, you'll be my first run-through guest, you know, because no one's going to listen to this one.
Right.
Adjust the camera so at least you're not like, you know, think like a cinematographer for a second.
How do you work these things?
Yeah. Well, so,
what's wrong with how it's set up?
No. It's just a lot of headroom there. But, yeah, that's almost better. So, in either case, I wanted to chat with you and talk about your film, obviously, that you spent a long time making. You spent, 5+ years making a short animated film?
Yeah, somewhere around there. Maybe give or take a couple years.
Give or take. It's obviously hard to make. I mean, a lot of people, I'm actually going to talk to a lot of filmmakers who make, using cameras and cinema and not a lot of animation. They don't understand when something takes 5 years. To them, things are done in weeks and months, basically. Not the editing and the post, obviously, but in terms of shooting it, you know, like when I go out and shoot, if I'm there longer for than a couple of months, my brain is going to explode. So tell me about that process that you can spend 5 years doing one thing and not kill everybody or yourself.
Well, a large reason for why it took so long was because it was only me and my CG partner, Matt Berenti, working on it for several years. So, you know, that's like a big difference between animation and live action, is that, you know, two guys in a room can make a film, whereas with live action you have to have like a whole crew and, you know, get out there on set and have like a whole other process, location scouting and all that stuff. Our locations are in our heads, so it's like, we need a desert. Here you go, model a desert. But
I mean, that's true. Obviously, most people know animation now, and everybody knows Pixar movies and DreamWorks and all those movies, and they take years, obviously. But
yeah, it's like four. I think around 4 years is standard for an animated feature.
Right, and obviously that's probably why they're so good too, because they got time to tell a good story. They actually think about the story before just going to shoot out for 2 weeks.
I think that's a big difference I see in like lots of live action directors versus animation directors. It's like you have to have the whole film basically in storyboard before you even touch a computer for animation, because it's like such a long and tedious process to actually create every shot. It's not like, it's not done in editing. You know, the movie's not done in post. It's just like,
right. It's done in pre-production.
It's done in storyboards, and then it's post. You know, the rest is post.
So, I mean, give me an example. So your movie, which is a short film, which is approximately what, 5 minutes, 6 minutes?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. What was your how long was the post? I'm sorry, the pre-production process, the storyboarding, the animatics that you did. How long was all that before you even started to model anything?
It was probably a year to a year and a half, maybe.
And then you started to model things that you knew would be in there, obviously.
Yeah, like the storyboards basically dictated everything that we actually need. So it's like, okay, so the main character's in this many shots. We obviously need him, but like we have like a bird for this shot, so we have to model a bird here. And yeah, so it like kind of dictates that process of what we're gonna use. And it wasn't like, you know, like pretty much everything, the whole story, all of the actual song was finished before we did a lot of modeling. So it's like, I should say that the short film is a musical, so a song kind of dictates how the pace is going to be.
So I'm actually going to show people your final product, but they're not seeing it now. You know, they're going to probably go to the website or whatever, or I can go there real quick just to show them what it looks like. This is the short on Vimeo, just so they can see it if someone's actually following along except me and you at this point. So I'll start it off, but I'm going to stop it just to show people what you mean by song and everything. And
I tell you a story that I've grown to know, but it happened not too far from here, a long time ago. And it takes place in a land where homes reached up toward the sky, a sight not unfamiliar, surely you drove by.
So I'm going to stop it here. So my point is to show that was obviously because nobody knows what we're talking about yet. Why don't you, now that they've seen a little bit, why don't you tell us exactly, you know, tell us the story, what is going on before we go into more of like the technical details and the process.
Okay, so the story is basically a musical that takes place in like a fantasy world where billboards are houses basically, and people live in them, and they are in charge of the advertising inside of them, and basically their main job, their family business is controlling these advertisements. And we follow the main character who one day sees a girl across the highway from him who lives in a regular house, and he falls in love with her, and he wants to try to get her love in kind of the only way he knows how, through advertising. So he spends a long time trying to advertise to her, trying to advertise his message of love, but she always misconstrues the message and goes and buys the product.
So, let's start, I guess, from the basics. Where did the idea come from? I know you mentioned Matt, your partner, sort of. Where did that first come from, and why did you decide to spend an inordinate amount of time on this particular project when I'm sure there's a million other projects that you could have done? Because I saw the process, folks.
Yeah, I mean, like, what we initially wanted to do, the idea was like simply in that, you know, we were just talking about what we're going to do after my previous short film that I finished as my final project in college. And that was going through the festival circuit at the time. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. And Matt and I were discussing it, and he wanted to do a story about billboards, and I wanted to do a love story because my previous short film was had a depressing end, and I was getting a lot of like feedback about that, and I didn't want to like turn into kind of like a guy who just kills off all of his characters, which was basically every short film I did in college. So,
right.
So I wanted something happy.
That last one, you actually, you're talking about the animal creature who crosses the road, right? Is that it? Oh, no, the man and the fish.
That's Traffic. I'm talking about the old man and the fish. But in both of those, the main character dies. Spoiler alert, if anybody wants to see those.
Well, if they're available, I'm going to post them up too on the, you know, obviously on the webpage. But, yeah. Okay, no, that's actually, I didn't know that story myself, that Matt wanted billboards and you wanted love. So that's good. So you guys set about to actually create it, you know, just the two of you, right? There was nobody else at first, or for how long there was nobody else until you got, I want to get to the point really, you know, I don't want to cover in minutia everything, but get to the point of you actually got funding, you got picked up by somebody to help you finish this movie commercially, sort of. And, yeah. You know, take us up to that point and, you know, how that happened.
So, you know, we were working on it, we started working on it, and like we were both kind of working like a crappy straight to DVD rental place. So it's like we were doing animation that we didn't really want to do. So that's the reason why we wanted to really pursue it, because we thought it was like a way to get a better portfolio, get a better reel and portfolio out, so we could get better jobs. And it was kind of like toward the beginning of our career, so we were still trying to find places and like get established in the animation industry. So, you know, working on a short film in our spare time was kind of like what we wanted to do.
Right.
So that's what took the majority of time, and then, you know, eventually we got it to a place where we had probably 70 or 80% of all the modeling done, and like all of the animation, or like probably 80 to 90% of the animation locked. And I was working at a commercial house. Well, I was like doing kind of like three months of work on the film, and then going doing 3 to 6 months of freelance, and then going back and working on the film some more. So there was a lot of sporadic progress. So we finally made it to kind of almost animation lock, and I was working at I took a freelance job for like a week or two, and while I was at the company, it was called Wolf and Crow, one of the people there was talking to the owner, and he was like, oh, you should check out David's short film, because it's like we've been working on it for so long, everybody already knew we had a short film. Everybody knew what it was.
Right. The whole industry knew.
Yeah, everybody already knew. And like, so we, so I showed it to the owner. He really loved it, and he wanted to help finish it.
To put it so people know where we are, like you were working, just you and Matt, right? There's nobody, was there other people involved, right? There was a couple of folks just here and there.
it was several people. Like when you're working on a animation project like this, you're trying to reach out to, you know, your friends for favors, and
right, there's no money in this in the beginning. There's nobody's getting at all. This wasn't like a short film. We have $20,000 or $10,000 or whatever. We hadn't.
No,
you
we
put
had
nothing
zero
into it.
Dollars. We only had the money that we basically earned. So
right, and you wanted to keep it. Like, you didn't want to pay anybody.
Yeah.
No, understandable.
Well,
so
we can't pay. We, you know, like the short film production is such a huge thing. Like animated short film production is such a huge thing. Like I can't.
Right.
I wouldn't never be able to afford like several animators for, you know, a year or several months to do it.
No, that's the thing, right? It's not a, like, you know, when people hire an AC or a gaffer for a day, even if on a short film, you can pay them $100, a couple $100, whatever.
Yeah.
You can figure it out, but you're basically saying hiring an animator for 3 years is unaffordable.
Basically.
Right. Okay, so this guy was interested, and he decided to finish it and fund the rest of the short, right?
Yeah, the agreement we came to is that he basically would, we'd be working there as creative directors. So he basically, he liked the work we were doing. So he made us into creative directors at the studio. It was like, the studio was very new, by the way. It was like only a month old when I started. So they didn't really have anybody. And so we would be working on the film part-time and outside of like the commercial work. And then when there was off time, would be working on commercial work for most of the time, and then in off time would be working on the short film.
Well, not to take a big deviation from the film, because, you know, I want to talk about it, but I'm going to show, I don't know if your commercial work is here. Here's a little bit of it, just so people know what you've been working to. These aren't small commercials, right? These are big spots.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Hotlanta. Now, settle down. Settle down. No whistling, unless it's at me.
Fantastic accent.
New things, new people, new places.
I mean, this is, what is this called? What is that, the game?
Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Yeah, this is Plants vs. Zombies.
Making things that happen.
Let me see this. This is the short film. But you had, just trying to get through the whole thing. Everyone knows this, the Avengers, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, you had some big stuff on there, obviously. These aren't small things. So when you're working for this guy, Wolf and Crow, these were actually big jobs, right? Some of them. I don't know if that was all of it from there, but...
Yeah, no, the stuff in the beginning was from a Coke happiness spot, and that was for PSYOP. But most of that other stuff was for Wolf and Crow.
Right. So I just wanted to put a context that this guy that helped you finish your film was... sort of getting bigger spots to work on. It wasn't like, this was not an indie production.
Yeah.
Right. And he wanted to invest in an indie production to try to branch out or start making narrative stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was still like kind of an indie production, you know. I think the work we did there was pretty, for the Marvel and the Plants vs. Zombies stuff, was smaller than usual, like definitely smaller than the stuff that I was doing at PSYOP, but I'm pretty happy with the work that we were able to accomplish with such a small team.
Right. And the Avengers 2, that was there?
Yeah.
That was for the game, right?
Yeah, that was for Avengers Battle for Earth.
Cool. So what happened once the movie was done? What happened?
So
we gave up. Went home. Yeah. We finished and went home.
What happened? Well, we started sending it to festivals.
Yeah. So tell us. So did it get festivals? Did it get the traction? What happened?
We premiered at Palm Springs International Short Festival, which is a pretty big one. And we were... You know, we made it to the Savannah Film and Video Festival. I made it out there. And, like, a bunch of other smaller ones. I forgot. Like, we probably made it into 20 to 30 festivals altogether.
Mm-hmm. And so, did it get any... I mean, did it help you get jobs? Did it help Wolf and Crow? Did it... You know, obviously, as filmmakers, it's hard.
I mean, I would say probably not.
Yeah, it didn't help you get any jobs. No one was like, wow, this is amazing. Let me pay you a lot of money for something.
Well, before it even was finished, it got me the job at Wolf and Crow, you know?
Oh, so the short film got you the job at Wolf and Crow.
The short film got me that creative director job for...
Oh, I see.
For a year and a half at Wolf and Crow. You know, without it, I wouldn't have done that. And
you pull the old Trojan horse.
What's that?
The old Trojan horse.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, we, you know, our goal for the short when we first started it was to get, you know, better jobs from it, and we did, you know, before the short film was done.
Right.
So when it was like, after it was done, it would have been great if we got, you know, it would have been great if, like, it won bigger awards and got more publicity, of course, but I didn't want to start another short film. I didn't want to do that stuff. And
no, but this is a common thing. This is why I'm talking to an animator and not only just a film, you know, not just someone like a cinematographer or a director in the conventional sense of shooting live action, because you make a film, you're taking a big risk.
Yeah.
Right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's obviously even probably a bigger risk doing an animation because you're spending an enormous amount of time with possibly nothing that can come of it at the end of it, as opposed to like a filmmaker who shoots his movie, spends 2 weeks, edits for even a year. It's still not 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, tell me. I mean, that's what I want to know. Like, tell me about... you obviously don't want to do another animation, so what have you decided at this point, basically? Are you not going to make any more feature films or narratives because of this one experience?
I think, like, the experience itself taught me a lot and jaded me a lot. And not just actually working on the short film, because it's like, I don't know, as an animator, like, I've never been just like the director or whatever. I'm always like on the box and like doing the animation and doing, you know, doing most of the work.
Right.
You know, so I'm not like commanding people to do my bidding or whatever. So it's like I always kind of like the smaller projects that I could do on my own, or at least stuff that I could start on my own and be like, this is kind of what the idea is, and then carry it further.
So is there another movie in your future?
Yeah, I have a bunch of, well, like, I'm working on some screenplays with friends of mine, and working on like all kinds of projects I want to do. I'm focusing a lot on games right now. On doing indie game development, because to me it's like a small indie game is kind of like a small short film that you can monetize. You know, like the big thing with animated shorts, or probably any shorts in general, is that there's no market for them. It's all like, you know, throw it out into the festival circuit and hopefully somebody buys it. But there's nobody's going to pay even 99 cents when they could, you know, when they have like unlimited content on Netflix and YouTube for pennies.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that is, shorts are, that's why I mean, I didn't talk to my audience as the first episode, but obviously I shoot commercials, features, and those kinds of things, and I've stopped doing shorts almost completely. It has to be a really fucking amazing short for me to come out to your set and shoot it for you and light it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's no reason for me to show up and spend, even me, when I do get paid, and I get paid good rates, and I rent them equipment, and I do all that, it's still not worth it to waste my time on a short film, because there is no other benefit from it besides the small monetary value that I would get from it. Because they're usually never going anywhere. It's so hard to hit that bullseye, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even when they go somewhere, a short is always basically a real piece. It's not going to be, it's like almost never going to make its money back. I don't know how a short can make its money back.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way. So there's no market for them except the internal feature film market, where people are looking at shorts and trying to find directors or whoever, and trying to find like what other projects they are. But whenever somebody's doing a short, they're, main goal is either to get a job in the industry they're looking for, or to build it into a feature, and they have a feature already planned and they want to do this, but they don't have the money, so they use the short as a jump off point.
Yeah, and so, I understand it for those people that are young. So if you're in your 20s and you're trying to make, because here you are, you look young, but you're in your 30s right now, right? So
yeah.
And your birthday's coming up, so is mine. Happy birthday to the both of us.
Yeah.
Getting old. But yeah, I mean, in the 20s, you can easily go ahead and make a short, make 10 shorts, 20 shorts, learn how to be a director. You know what I mean? In any case, I'm talking about animators or just live action stuff. But I just don't see, as you get later in your 20s, you're just wasting your time. You should just go save your pennies and make a feature. And even if you don't sell it, that at least can stand on its own. That could be something a little bit bigger. Anyway, that's my advice, my two cents.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Like, I feel like in this, you know, with content being like so unlimited, your content really has to stand out, and you have to find a market to actually sell it. So it's like, yeah, features are if you're going to be a film director or whatever, you have to just do a feature.
Right. That's what I keep telling people.
look at the recent one, you know, like, especially with all the crowdfunding and all that stuff. It's like the Babadook. That's a new movie. Have you seen that one?
No.
So that was like a Kickstarter crowdfunded thing. And they were asking for something like really small, like $30,000. And they actually made a like pretty good feature out of it, like a horror, you know, horror feature that everybody was really passionate about.
Wait, Bob, are you talking about the two guys walking around with the zombies? There was one that was called, I forgot what it was called, made by two guys really cheap, about zombies. This wasn't it?
No, it's The Babadook is like a story about basically a children's book that kind of comes to life, and is like a scary children's book that comes to life.
For $30,000, with animation basically, or effects?
They have effects.
Did it look good?
Yeah, I mean, like, you could tell that it was like, okay.
Okay, some guy with After Effects.
No, it was much better than After Effects. When you're working on, but like, the horror genre, the genre they picked is like,
right,
the less you show, the better it is. You know, it would be better if they didn't show anything. Right, right. And then it's like, then it's really scary. So,
well, I just shot a horror movie by a director called Richard LeMay.
Yeah.
I mean, more money than that $30,000, so it was a little bit bigger than that. But he made like a drama horror. So we did have a monster, and he was fucking amazing. This guy, his name was Dead. The actual guy, like, who did the effects, the makeup, he did a kick-ass job, except he showed up stoned all the time or something like that. But he did a kick-ass job, and the guy, the monster looked great. And we also showed him it wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot of scenes, because we didn't want to kill our monster. You know, we didn't want to make him look cheesy, basically.
Yeah.
So hopefully that feature works out. But yes, horror seems to be a good place for directors who want to try to make income to go into.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a passionate fan base, and they're usually cheap to make. You just need like a cabin in the woods or something.
Right, you need some woods. We were in the woods, but we had a lot of locations though. I wish we were in a cabin. Yeah. Okay, cool. So tell me, you said, I guess we're going to end this off. It doesn't have to be like a 10-hour interview, but you're making games now. So so basically you switched careers. You went from animating, and you did shoot some live action too, and you did some commercials, and obviously we didn't talk about that. But you switch now to gaming. Tell us about that transition and what you're doing now.
Gaming has always been in my life, you know? Like, we were playing NES and Atari and all that stuff, you know, when we were kids. And I feel like it was never, as an animator, you know, going into school for animation, like, gaming was never a good job for an animator, because it was like 90% of it was mocap or it's not Disney, you know. Like, games today they're way better, but it's not Disney or Pixar work. So it's like, as an animator, you're always dreaming of getting that Pixar or DreamWorks or whatever job, the feature job, because those are the most those are the sexiest. But most of my work in animation has also been as a rigger and a technical, like a TD, a technical director, and that entails a lot of, you know, scripting and doing Mel and Python. So I had to pick up all of that Mel and Python stuff as I went along. So it was like just this natural transition when I got into like a game engine like Unity, where it's like, oh, I could do this stuff. You know, there's nothing stopping me. So, and it's like one of those things where it's like, as I was saying, a small project that I could take on my own. I could do the animation now, and I could do the
programming.
The technical work.
The programming. The
technical work involved. Yeah, well, the technical work to get it into Engine, but also the programming of the actual gameplay and all that stuff. So, right. Like, finding those challenges is really fun and exciting.
Well, the tools, just to briefly talk about them, they've seriously changed over the last, you know, since I remember learning to program a long time ago. Yes, before cinematography, I actually programmed. And, I mean, it's so much easier now to pick up, as a non-coder, a piece of software and actually make something that works.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing where it was like, it was just the perfect opportunity where it's like, the short film was done, what do I want to do? All these tools are being developed, like Unity did come out several years ago, but it's finally gotten to a place where it's super simple to use for non-coders, and it's very optimized and efficient, so you don't have to dig too deep into that optimizing stuff, which I was never really super into as a non-programmer.
Right. So, I mean, I want to keep this in the filmmaker realm, but I think what you're trying to do, well, at least what you're trying to say, if I could shove some words in your mouth, is basically you're still telling a story. You're still, even with game programming, or I'm sorry, game development, you're still telling stories as opposed to, I'm not telling stories anymore. Now I'm just a game developer, which is not true. So you're still trying to tell stories. You're just not using the same medium that you did before.
Yeah. I mean, I've always wanted to, I've always like kind of been a storyteller, and I only like for the most part, I like games that are single player with a pretty good involved story and all of that. And lately, the stuff I've been seeing in games and the indie game market is really exciting for storytelling. Because now it's because gaming is such an interactive, immersive medium where it's like as soon as you could control a character, it's way more immersive for the player than like just seeing Tom Cruise or something on screen being Tom Cruise. Like you're the one dictating the choices supposedly, but really it's the designer who's like guiding you through the story. And so it's like it's really fun and interesting challenges for a linear narrative filmmaker to try to tackle. And like as a narrative filmmaker, I could hopefully bring something new into gaming where it's not just like about the Twitch stuff, but it is like more compelling stories. Because, you know, obviously when everybody thinks about games, they don't really think about the amazing stories in games. And
right, usually you're landing on an alien planet to destroy some people, kill some bug-like creatures.
Yeah, so it's very heavily military based, and it's like you're the badass. It's basically every popular game is like, you know, a Michael Bay movie.
Well, I think it's going to evolve. It's going to, I mean, it's already evolved. There's plenty of role-playing games, but I mean, I think people will get more into it as time goes on, and it becomes more realistic to actually be those characters as opposed to just view those characters on a television, you know, with virtual reality coming and Oculus Rift and all that, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's where the future is, I believe. You know, I don't think we're going to be sitting in theaters looking at a light projection for much longer. I think like with the Oculus, it's going to be so much more immersive for all storytellers to actually try to tell their stories. And like,
well, I like that, but it makes me sad because I do like cinematography and shooting movies. I enjoy it. And if I'm not allowed to do that, then, you know, I guess I'll join you in the game development world.
Well, which part of it? Like, if you like the craft of the photography and all of that stuff, then yeah, you're gonna lose something.
You're fucked.
But if you're like, But there's like plenty of beautiful imagery that is being created in games.
Oh no, of course, but part of what's fun about making a movie is going somewhere and making that movie. That's part of it, you know, and with all these people and I won't say it's a family all the time. Sometimes you hate those people. But you do go in it together. Like a mini little war, you know? So, and then you're creating some art together, and it's not all just one person. I like that. I actually like that aspect. That kind of stuff. And the photography, of course.
Most games aren't one person, and most games are now 500 people.
No, but you know what I mean. It's not a solitary. No, but it's not a solitary sitting at a computer, and it's sort of like a real-time magic thing that happens when you're on set, because when everything works, the lighting, the acting, the direction, all of that together in a certain scene, maybe not an entire movie, you can feel it. You could feel that visceral sort of energy. So I like that part of it. It doesn't always happen. So it's not like, oh, you know, like every single movie I'm on, that's what's going on. But that's what I sort of dig about it, you know?
Yeah. I like animation because I don't like dealing with people.
Well, there's a lot of logistical problems on a set, that's for sure.
Well, there's a lot of logistical problems everywhere. But, like, to me, the computer art is, like, infinitely scalable, where you could have, like, one person doing something awesome, or you could have 900 people working on the next Assassin's Creed game over the entire world for several years, and, you know, it's a huge event.
That's true.
And they're all doing the same thing, basically.
Cool. So I guess I'll end it with what is the name of the game? What's the game that you're making right now? So eventually, I think you made a couple, right? But this one is hopefully going to come out in 5 years.
Hopefully a lot sooner than that.
Technically, I was helping you on it.
It's tentatively titled Final Frontier.
Cool. Space Adventure.
Yep, go on alien planets and kill a bunch of people and whatever, as we were talking about.
Right, go. That's what it's about, actually. And with that, we've come to a close of episode one of Director... Oh, no, I keep messing it up. Of Photography of Director, because directorofphotography.com was taken, so this is...
So that's the next best thing?
This is Photography of Director... And see you later.
Okay. Bye.
We're still working out some of these kinks in the podcast and getting all the technical details correct. As usual, there's a lot of them. So any feedback, please email info@photographyofdirector.com. Thank you.